Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, June 5th. I can't believe it's June already, 2025. Sir, would you open us up in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day that you've given us and all the weather the last three or four days that we've had, Lord. We thank you for it. And Lord, we thank you for the rain that's coming. Lord, we just ask you to watch over our residents, guide us as we make decisions that affect them, and watch over our first responders, and be with the families of the officers that have fallen in the last 2 weeks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Also, just for the people viewing at home, etc., this is a special meeting for today, and this is in regards to our future of the township for the fire levy. So you may want to listen entirely. We got to make decisions today due to the failure of the levy. It failed by 33 votes, so we have to make some tough decisions today. We're here with our fire chief, and we're going to be going over what decisions and what we may need to do. So would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, if I could have a roll call, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Leeser?
Yeah.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Mazur, I'm going to turn it over to you, and we'll go from there. Do you want to do the, you already have it first, the seasonal summer help?
Go ahead, Joe. Explain what?
Gentlemen, we have, like I said in our last meeting, we have been advertising for our summer help positions. Didn't get a whole lot of feedback. Had a gentleman stop in yesterday, and actually had two of them that I interviewed yesterday. This gentleman here just lives a couple doors down, 17 years old. His name's Chance Taylor. I would like to be able to offer this position to this young gentleman, very polite, nice boy, starting at $20 an hour, and his starting date would be on the 16th.
So he lives in the township?
Correct. He's just a couple doors down. So with approval, I'll get everything set up in Grove City for all his testing, just like we have with the other ones. So
is there any discussion by the board?
Not really.
Hearing none, I'd like to make a resolution, because we need a resolution for that, sir. Do we have a number?
No, what I can do is I can have it in prepared. I can have it prepared for you at the 12th.
Do we want to pass something now so we can get moving, or do we wait till 12th?
Why don't we do a motion?
You can do a motion. You can
do the resolution at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that way Jim can start the process, and then we'll have the resolution ready on the 12th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, Franklin Township, Ohio, that the board accepts the application
of Chance Taylor,
and from this point we'll have a resolution crafted by June 12th for hiring. Meanwhile, Mr. Stevens will be able to facilitate going through the rest of the process. If there's no further questions, I would ask for a second.
I will second.
With a start date of the 16th.
With this, if approved, after June 12th meeting, the start date will be June 16th.
So you're amending the motion.
Correct. And also, we have a second, if I can go to a roll call when ready.
I will second the amendment too.
Okay. Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Okay.
You're good. Gentlemen, thank you.
I'll get to work on that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're back to work.
Might want to let him know, and maybe he'll be here. Be nice if he's here at that meeting.
Chance to check.
Yes, I'll get a hold of him.
That's a good idea, Jim. John just had, if he's available, that meeting will be in the afternoon at 5:30. If he'd like to just stop in,
I'm sure he
wouldn't have to stay for the whole entire thing, but it'd be nice to meet him.
I'm sure he would.
Sure.
All right, thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Sure, Jim. And then, Chairman, one thing real quick. In the last meeting, you approved the bank reconciliations for January and February. I think it was a special meeting.
It was a couple meetings ago.
But what I have today is, like I said, you approved January and February. I have March now completed, so I need a motion to approve that bank reconciliation.
Have we all had a chance to see that?
You have seen February,
okay.
January and February. I have March here for you for review.
Okay.
But then, like I said, I'll need signatures today for January, February, and then I have March for your review as well.
Okay.
We had not done this in the past, but Mr. Kirby, who is our contract accountant, would just like the trustees to review this and put their signature
Absolutely.
On it. So he is working on April and May.
Many years ago when I started, we used to have this. And then somehow through the multitude of different fiscal officers, it had stopped. And with the lack of the fiscal officer that we have, obviously, it wasn't getting done. And due to the fact that we have a contracted person, it's nice to see these again.
Moving forward, are they going to be able to be sent to us? Great.
Yes, Mr. Blevins, as soon as I get them from Mr. Kirby, I will forward them to the trustees.
Yeah.
I haven't reviewed it. I got a question or two after mm-hmm. we get it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Just clarifications.
Mm-hmm.
So is that pretty much general fund, the adjusted bank balance, or is that all?
That should be everything included.
Okay. What date do you have there? Three, right? January, February, March. That's March.
Yep.
Yeah, we've already okayed those.
Yeah. Okay. Should we be concerned with the balance, you know, looking at, where we get our second half monies? Never mind. I was going to be concerned with this figure of $5 million. This was of January, February, that was before we got our second draw. Because that would have been like, how are we going to make it the rest of the year? Okay. Would you like a motion to accept?
You gentlemen have already made a motion to approve January, February. We just need a motion to approve March, and then we just need signatures.
Okay.
So yeah, I think I've already seen these.
If there's no further question, are you finished, sir?
I can vote on this, but moving forward, just as we stated, Mr.
Absolutely.
Major said it's going to happen.
Take a minute.
I want it sent to me. I want it sent to me days before
so we can
we're
review.
Going to come in and have a meeting. I need to have time to look things over
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, but I feel like I know I've seen these.
Okay.
I feel like I've got this in the past, so I'm good to go with a vote, if that's what your question
And I have questions, but I'll do it when the motion is on the table.
So if there's no further questions,
there is.
Go ahead with your questions, and then
You have to have a motion on the table
so
to have questions.
I'm going to say it this way, and then you can say you have a question. Okay. If there's no further questions in regards to the motion, in regards to the bank
reconciliations
for we're talking
just March,
this past March, for March of 2025. If there's no further question, ask for a second.
I will second, but I have a question afterwards since it's on the table now. May I see that? It's a real quick, just to clarify, what is the other adjustment factors, the $29,000?
That would probably be a question you'd have to ask Mr. Kirby, but he does go in, and if an account is underwater, so to speak, we have the funds, but he just has to take it from one fund to another to get things balanced.
Okay, because I noticed that number matches this number, deflating bank error, and I was concerned, but all right, I'm ready for a vote.
They're just corrections.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none, sir, when you have, it's yours.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Sign them.
So are we signing? That's what my question anyway, was. Is that where line, we're yeah. signing those lines right there?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I just, okay. Yeah, there was nowhere for it. I just yep. picked a line.
That's what I.
Maybe I'll ask him to put, insert the trustee's name below this line. I'm just thrilled these are getting done. I mean, Jeff did them, but.
This makes it nice because we cannot
I remember
get into a them. Situation where. We've seen before because all receipts are accounted for and balanced. So going forward, this board knows that there's no issues as of this month, and we're not going to run into situations like we've had in the past.
We hand them back to
yeah. yeah.
Thank you, sir. That's all I have for you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Okay, at this time, we will move over to Mr. Arnold, our fire chief, sir.
Thank you. So, as you know, we have now 6 firefighters left on that SAFER grant that is being funded by FEMA. So that grant officially ends again June 7th, which is Saturday. So I applied for an extension because there's still money left from the original grant that we've been working off of for the first 6 months of this year. There's still a substantial amount left over from the original grant that we could extend it for another 6 months and get at least 3 or 4 months worth of employment out of these last 6, depending. So I put in for an extension when I was supposed to, and based on the snail's pace in which our federal government entities are moving at this point, we're too close to the end of the line, and we are not guaranteed that extension at this moment right now. So because the grant ends on the 7th, that puts all 6 of those firefighter positions onto the fire fund starting June 8th. The fire fund, as you know, is already very close to out of balance as we sit. We can handle a small amount of intrusion financially to keep these guys. By contract, per CBA, we have to keep them 30 days from the day we send this letter out. So, as of last night, I talked to the FEMA guy, finally called me and said, don't do anything until you talk to me tomorrow morning, because the powers that be at FEMA are having a meeting and your extension is part of that meeting. So I spoke to him this morning. He said, we're basically assured that extension, except it's not going to be official for probably a week or 2 weeks. So fortunately, we can tear these layoff notices up if that becomes official before the 30 days ends. He assured me that they will have a decision within 30 days, even though it goes past our deadline, grant deadline of June 7th. So in my opinion, that means make these letters official, because we can't extend them. We can't wait for 2 weeks. That's a whole nother payroll that's coming out of the fire fund.
It's already strapped.
So my advice is to make these layoff notices official today. And then if or when that comes through in 2 weeks, tear them up and say, we don't need these yet. We'll postpone that down the road for a few months.
I concur, because, and then to the people, your firefighters know that, you know, hey, we have to do this because of X, Y, and Z, but this is, we have been assured, just like you explained to us. Have you explained that to the guys yet?
Yes.
Okay, so they're aware of that.
I explained to everyone yesterday and today. There's two gentlemen at work tomorrow that I didn't want to call them 15 times with updates, so they don't know yet exactly what's happening, but I'll talk to them after this meeting if these letters become official.
Okay.
And then I'll see them face to face tomorrow. So.
Okay.
At what point does, so these guys, obviously they're smart gentlemen and they have to worry about their families and things like that. If I was in their shoes and there was an opportunity to move, I would move.
Right.
So what point, number wise, if we lose any of these grant guys, where it's going to start affecting your budget, because in order to keep things open, we're going to be down on numbers. Because I checked, and you had two people this past pay period that had overtime. So what I don't want to do is from keeping making decisions to where it's going to affect your budget when we get down on numbers.
Right.
You understand my question? Am I explaining it well enough?
Kind of.
Okay.
Spending an amount of money on overtime.
So overtime is at its barest minimum. At this point, I was only using overtime to keep both stations open.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So if we do this, today and we send these letters out,
yes,
and yet people still, like I tried to say, if they get an opportunity to move, they should move.
They are, absolutely.
And they're going to get down to where it's difficult.
Yes, that's part of conversation we have as to when and which station we want left open and which one we're going to close.
Okay.
Okay, I was just going to clarify what was being asked, what you answered. You clarified.
Okay.
So
did you reach out? Did you have to reach out to, after you and I spoke on Monday,
Yes.
I reached out to Henry.
Okay.
And he was going to get the ball rolling on his side, just to be a preemptive.
Yes.
And I didn't know if you'd reached out to Abdullay or not.
I did not, because
okay. Well,
we'll
keep that one in our pocket.
Exactly. And he sent me to the DC people, which I saved their numbers, but when I spoke to the gentleman in Kerry's office who basically reports to Kerry for FEMA, he was in the dark as much as all the rest of us were. So I didn't want to bother him and get him worried up if I was supposed to hear from this dude. So
Congressman Kerry's office has been instrumental in getting this straightened out with the back pay and all that. And I think this board owes him a gratitude of thanks because of all that he has done.
Mm-hmm.
Above and beyond what is normal, and having late night conversations.
for sure.
With your position, I had someone contact me and ask if you were taking a position somewhere else.
Or me personally?
Offer. Yeah.
I have not looked yet.
Someone asked me. I don't know if it was a rumor. They didn't elaborate, and I said, to the board's knowledge, we have not accepted any resignation, so I don't know what you're talking about. And they said, okay, and that was the end of the conversation, so I didn't know.
No, I don't feel like our department's in a position where it'd be wise of me to step away.
Sure. I'm sure you would let us know.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm sure there's people that watch this, mm-hmm. and, you know, I could have called you personally
mm-hmm.
and asked you that question. But sometimes the people that I get calls and stuff from may be watching this, and then they've heard it from you personally.
For sure.
Okay, so at this point, moving forward, do you have, where are we going from here for today's agenda? We have discussion in regards to, one, the layoff notices.
Yeah,
You have given us a breakdown. Do you want to explain what we have here in front of us?
To sign these,
I think we should probably do the resolutions.
We have to do the resolution for the...
Or finish off these notices.
Yeah. Yeah.
If everyone's on board, that way okay. we can move past it and be done with that part.
So I understand this, because we've just seen these this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The layoffs will go into effect... Now,
the notices now. The 30 days goes in now. I
due
put on
contract.
Here July 12th because it's the end of a pay period, and that makes it easiest for fiscal and everybody to understand. They get a full paycheck before they are sent on.
Okay,
and so it's not stopping in the middle of a pay period.
So we will need a resolution for today
to accept
that, yes, we're accepting the fact that notices are going out today and that they'll be effective
July 12th,
and then on...
Now, we could wait until the public meeting on June 12th because that's still, if you're okay
exactly
with...
30 days.
If you're okay with getting... If with July 12th as the D-Day, then you could wait until Thursday's meeting to do this.
Are you guys comfortable with that? I mean,
I am. That way we have the resolution for that day.
Yeah.
And it'll give Bob another week to get more
information
from FEMA, hopefully.
So,
and we would still be within our 30-day window, 12 to 12, 12
right.
of June, 12 of July.
That would be our last hard
press. Can you put that
day.
On old business on the next agenda, please? So we can knock that out right away so it doesn't slip through the cracks. Like
for sure.
I'm for that.
Okay.
You may not have to talk to those other two guys. You may get a phone call this afternoon.
You never know. You never know.
Okay, so is there any other business on the agenda other than this?
So, with that being said, I think I need basically some clarity because as I see my position, I run your fire department. I present the three of you with the best information that I have for you three and or the board to make significant decisions like closing a firehouse. I don't feel like that's my decision. I feel like that's your guys' decision. And I think everyone is on board with that. So, because both stations are key to their neighborhoods and their districts, I feel like it's an extremely difficult decision to make. And I wanted you all to have as much information as you can before you make this as we move forward. It's not happening today. It would happen like July 12th, depending on where manpower is or staffing at that point. But we're coming up against it. And so I will do my best to continue to keep both fire stations running in some sort, like we have for this year. But I sent that email. I kind of presented arguments and just data for both stations. And Mike had a question that I have an answer to through conversations that we've had. But as you know, the township is pretty big. 192's is in the center of that township, of our township. So going north, going south, it's about the same distance from 192 to reach the majority of the township. 193's is 7 miles from Traybee Road, which even responding, that's more than 7 minutes response time. On the roads, trying to get up there is going to be over 10 probably in real life. So that being said, run numbers, 192's took 599 township runs. 193's took 656 township runs.
193, how many, I'm sorry?
193's took 656, 192's took 599. And then there's 78 runs in our computer system that were designated as township runs that weren't defined per district. Somebody didn't input the right box in the report.
So it's fairly close.
So it's, if you take that as your percentage of error, it's almost identical. Each one takes roughly the same amount of city runs, about 3,000 each. There's still that little variance. There's 450 runs that were not defined by station, but they were city runs that were taken. And so pretty equal as far as township. Each truck, and that's engine and medics, each truck is taking, I'm sorry, these are the correct numbers. I don't know why I wrote those down. I'm sorry. Engine 192, Sullivan, 608 township runs. Engine 193, right here next door, 654 township runs. Medic 192, 741 township runs. Medic 193, 780 township runs. And then again, that variance of 78 undesignated runs for the medics. Those were medic runs. Give you a better idea. I was going to say those numbers didn't sound right. So, numbers are almost identical. Township versus city, medic versus engine. It all comes out within a few percentage points. So, it doesn't make sense to me, because knowing our districts and knowing where fire stations are, my next biggest thing, which Mike brought up before, because he was pacing out miles between firehouses. So I wrote down here, distance to the other firehouses, the closest firehouses from our two firehouses. And it's all in that email I sent you guys. So, I mean, 192 is obviously Station 12 on Sullivan's, 1.4 miles from it. If you take out Station 12, you have 31s out here by the airport, 3.2 miles, 17s, which is up on the hilltop, 3.4 miles, 26 is up at Fisher and 70. 4.1 miles. 193's, 12's is again the closest station, 2.9 miles. 17's is only 3.1 miles. Station 10 in the bottoms, 3.7. 31's is 4.4. And Station 3 is on Greenlawn now. It's the new one they built. That's 4.8 miles.
So really, realistic.
So it's equal.
Yeah, it's
so
kind
if you take out Station 12, the rest of those stations are almost the same, give or take numbers, and a little bit of miles, half mile at the most here or there.
Yeah, and 12's only, I think a mile difference, you said?
1.4 to 2.9, so it's a mile and a half. But 12's is the truck you get down here a lot. So that helped me understand, once I broke that down, why when you crush and crunch and work through the data that Columbus Dispatching sends, no matter which truck is out of service, a 192 truck or a 193 truck, everyone else's response times are increased by about a minute. All the other trucks everywhere. So as one or two addresses might have a definite longer response time, the average response times for all the runs taken by the other trucks when those ours are out are roughly the same, give or take 15 seconds. So that distance-wise, that started making sense to me, because if one of our trucks isn't there, 12's is out on a run. It doesn't matter which station, because it's the closest one to both. So 12's is always going to be on a run, whether it's down here or up there.
12 is Westgate, Bob?
Yes, yeah. On Sullivan too. Okay. So that made a little more sense to me. Both of our ambulances transport about 3,500 patients a year. And then it basically comes down to, where can I house a fire station? As of right now, the ideal way to run one firehouse, so that everyone can actually use their time off that they're granted in their contracts, you have to have 7 per shift, run 5 people at a minimum. That leaves 2 people off, five people to run trucks. So if they all come to work, I need 7 beds. This station has 6 beds, and I don't have room for a 7th. There's nowhere to put it. There's only 1 bathroom on that side of the building. There's 3 bays. And then Solvent has 8 beds. Even though we wouldn't use them all, there is 8 there now. 2 bathrooms, 2 showers. This has 1 shower. And then finally, just so you're aware, Columbus's solution at this moment to any of our stations closing and taking trucks out, the only place they had room to put another truck was Station 10, which is up on the bottoms, the big one up there on Broad towards downtown. So they have an extra medic in there right now that they're running 24 hours a day to make up for the lack of our medic, whatever day it is, either station. That's all the room they have. And then Mike, I thought it was a great idea because, so on this map, when Mike and I talked, we thought that the majority and substantially more of our taxpaying citizens and our grazers are in 193's district. So I just took the numbers solely off of this is November's precincts and how they voted. So I just took all the numbers and added them up. And so if you look at Ongaro, North Hague, Moneyback, and El Paso, that's 586 voters, 270 voters. On Broadlawn, the Rosary District, and Climb Road, which is 192's district still, 377. The apartments up there at 135 votes, which since they weren't taxpayers, I did them both ways. That's 1,233 voters of taxpaying residents. 1,368 if you count the apartments. 193's district, west of the triangle, 581 votes. In the triangle, 454 votes. East of the triangle, 514 votes, for a total of 1,549.
So there's more down here.
So there is more down here, but it's not nearly as much as I thought. 1,238, 1,509, or 1,549.
So we have, what is the difference? Roughly
not counting the apartments, 1,233 to 1,549. If you include the apartment, that's just the voters in the apartments. There's obviously more than 135 people who live in those apartments.
Yeah.
And then the last argument I have is, I know keeping Wesson Mall is significantly important. I don't know how they would feel if there's no fire protection right there from the township. I think that could significantly sway the ownership of that. Like, well, if you can't protect me,
right,
what the hell am I staying in the township for?
Yeah.
So things to think about. I obviously don't need a decision today, but I do need some guidance upcoming, obviously, depending on when the SAFER thing gets resolved. We'll have to actually make a decision 100% on that.
So does anyone from the board have any additional questions?
The only thing I'll say is it's 10 up on Broad Street, correct?
In the bottoms, yes.
Yeah, and that's where the ambulance is housed 24 hours?
Yes, an extra one.
But none of this is like guaranteed, written out that they're going to keep, that Columbus is going to keep an extra, so we close this house down here, that they're going to keep the extra one on there. I mean, it's there now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We're relying on people that don't answer to us. That
correct.
Can change with a flip of a coin.
100%. They have no... They care because they have a lot of residents that we
and the one that is definitely in the center of the township, they may not have room or whatever, is 12, which is Westgate. Is that right?
Yes.
And that, you brought up 10 minutes to get to Trayview?
From here.
From here?
Yes.
But obviously to get to Trayview from the one at 12 is the same numbers as getting there from your house, basically, on
yes.
Sullivan Avenue.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a tie.
Yep.
It's a tie from up there.
So we're going to put our faith in Columbus that they're going to continue. I have no faith in Columbus whatsoever mm-hmm. that they're going to continue to have Franklin Township's best interest. And as soon as we stop taking their runs, the number of runs that we're taking into the city of into Columbus, their attitude towards Franklin Township is going to change.
Yes, I think it will evolve as we downsize.
So that's my thoughts, and everybody should just think about that, because you're not asking for a decision today.
And
we do have the phone truck and all that equipment out west.
Right.
Correct.
Yes. And those protect a significant financial aspect of the township.
Yes.
But we could, on our way up there, if this was our station, we could still get that equipment and go up there.
Okay.
It just adds
time.
But we use that stuff twice a year, and it's not necessarily ever in our township. It's just as a mutual aid to the state or Central Ohio for the most part.
And you said it's huge financially wise. So
no, just because Marathon Oil's in the township and all that bulk fuel.
Oh, so there is no.
So
okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying the property value of what's sitting on those properties is just significant, and that's why we have that phone to try to protect the.
Yeah.
If we had a fire there,
the interest of
the extra time it would take you to go from here to 192s. And then go on can make the difference of hours of putting out a fire.
Absolutely.
Tough decisions. So
probably sure. Get some information to digest.
Yeah, and I wrote out everything I said except for this because I just did it in the last 2 days. I will make sure I get that to you and it looks better than my chicken scratches.
So we come in on the 12th,
yes.
Just so we're all on the same page. We come in on the 12th, you don't hear anything about the grant being extended. Mm-hmm. We're sending out the notices and everything. The board should be prepared on the 12th, because this closing and firehouse isn't gonna happen overnight.
Correct.
So the board should be prepared on the 12th, the possibility that we have to make the decision.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Don't you think that's fair?
I think that's fair.
Oh, well, we need to be.
Yeah, I think
that's fair. Because we can't at that time go, I can't make up my mind.
Yeah. You know, so now we have 1 week to, decide and mull it over however you decide your decisions and everything.
Right.
Take the information you've given us today and take it all in and everything. So...
I think if you want to put that deadline on yourself, that just... gives me a peace of mind.
It definitely, we have to have a timeline. I irregardless, and rather we just take a vote for this one and let the chips fall where they may.
And just because you vote next week doesn't mean we're shutting that station
right,
down
right.
the next day.
Right, but that's the
way I will keep those stations open as long as I can possibly do it.
Right, absolutely. But we at least know which one, because there's going to be a lot of questions from the residents that want to know which one's going to affect them. A lot of times people are looking at, well, it's not going to bother me because it's, mm-hmm. I've got the station closest to me, and et cetera. So a lot of residents have to remember it's not necessarily because I've got this station next to me. Our decisions have to be a fluent decision of what is best for the whole township. I think a lot of people that, did not vote didn't maybe realize the gravity of what this was going to come to if it failed. And by failing by 33 votes, that was unbelievable.
We have to stop looking at it by 33 votes.
It well, I mean, we can, it's a choice. We don't have to stop looking at it that way. When we tell the public, if you give a public a 6% or 2%, the public has a right to know that it was 33 votes difference, because that really spells
it
out clearly.
Overall, it tells you 6%. That's, if you had 500 people voting or 1,000 people, it'd still be 6% voting against.
But again, it's for that particular levy at that particular time. When people realize a human factor involved, 33 people, and people pull down their street and thinking, I can see 15 people here that are probably voters, it gives it a perspective of how close it was. Granted, you're right, when you look at it as a chart, when we see levies fail and go, and presidents and et cetera, and you look at percentages, yeah, you know, people look at percentages, but when you put it into your backyard and you say 33 people, you know, it grasps. But I do understand what you're saying with the 6%.
And you know, the people spoke. I don't think they're concerned that Franklin Township has two firehouses any longer. No. Now it's our job to figure out which one covers the whole township. And it's a tough position for all of us, and it's a tough position for those that did vote for the levy. You know, they may have to, they may be the ones that don't have the closest firehouse to them, but they're all, at the end of the day, they're all covered by a house. May not be ours, we may not have control over it.
For sure.
But there's no doubt, Bob, that you and your men worked tirelessly on getting this levy passed and to educate people. It's shocking the number of people that did not come out and become educated on the levy, on how it's going to affect them. It just should speak volumes that people, they make up their mind and they don't care. They're not going to be taxed anymore.
Right.
And it's a tough place, it's a tough call. And I applaud, you know, Firefighters Union for all they did to help get this passed. And we are stuck with dealing where the chips fell. And I know it's a tireless job for you. You've lost a lot of hours of sleep over this. Mm-hmm. You're in a unique position because you're part of it's a brotherhood there.
For sure.
And I get it. And
for sure.
A lot of people,
we have your back.
A lot of people put their own time away from their families to go door to door.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of time away. And as an elected official, I know how much time it takes to go door to door and talk with people. So I am concerned about the more gravity that we're hearing, the do away with property tax totally. As we move forward, of course, we've heard that this is just talk. There's no way that they're going to get enough votes to get it on the ballot for this year. And the one thing that is not making sense is you do away with the property tax where, you know, they're not sharing the other side. Obviously, you can't just do away with property tax and expect everything to function the way it functions, because there's going to be taxes on something else to cover that. Now, if the federal government wants to make up the difference, I'm the first person to stand in line and say, yes, I don't want to pay property tax anymore. However, in different states like North Carolina, South Carolina, they went to what's called a luxury tax. So when you go to get your tags for your car, you're going to be paying, depending on the value, anywhere from $1,800 to $2,500 to $5,000 for your license plates. So you're just taking from one to the other. And that I don't know which way is better. So some say if you go that route, then people that live in apartments is paying because they have vehicles too. So it just, it's tough no matter which way you look at it.
I guess I'll speak. Two of these gentlemen came on board. Since I've been in office, I was lucky enough to welcome them aboard and get to vote for them to come to work here. I'll never forget when you guys were all next door, we were conducting business, and when you got the call, come on over, we're going to do your men next, that door, I've never seen this room fuller. You understand? You guys all piled in here, and it's such a, you know, good group of guys. I've never worked with any of your guys that I wasn't happy to say that they're Franklin Township firefighters and that they represent the board well and stuff. But when they came through that door, the familyness of the whole entire thing and everything. And so, I mean, honestly, down to my heart, this aches that we just got these today. Mm-hmm. You just sent them to me. I read them in the parking lot as I pulled in. And so I feel terrible that this has to happen. But again, James said it, the voters spoke, and we represent the voters, and we have to do what basically we're told to do.
Absolutely.
And I would, if and when we do have to send these out, I'd like to schedule a meeting. I'd like to know their schedules so I can come over and speak to each firefighter personally.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
For sure. I absolutely can do that. So moving on to how do we fund our remaining fire station into the future. So as you know, without the SAFER, we're basically operating around 3.6, 3.7 million in revenue. So I did some math, and it's been kind of disheartening over the past week. So if you take the top 23 firefighters who will be left after we downsize to one station just based on seniority and whatever, if you take their entire cost to the township, including insurance and everything, we're at about 3.6 million just to maintain the top 23.
Out of 2.some million.
Right. So that basically eats up every dollar of levies we have currently. So next year we drop to 2.6 million
yeah.
in revenues based off those three permanent levies. the expiring one, the five-year levy right now is generating just over $1 million. That's where we're at 3.7, 3.6, right in that range. These numbers are a year old, so they're not exact. So we got with Kerry, and I was trying to get information to you guys so we had the most up-to-date information. Kerry was unable, on the short notice I gave her, so she has the information, it just needs certified by her boss. Her boss did not get to it yet. So I don't have great information for you as of now. But my thought is, we really have three choices. And we did get some clarification from Kerry on how that works. We can try again for the same levy and try to keep two firehouses and further educate the voters. Since we're so close, we can start another campaign and try and see, can we get to 30 people and change their minds? Okay. The second would be, if you like the idea of the township wide, in order to run a township wide, it does have to replace the permanent levies on the books now. So if you want to run a township wide with just enough money to run one station, we still would have to run it large enough to replace the three on the books. So we don't know exactly what those numbers look like, because the auditor wasn't there, but it would be, no matter how we go about it, if we want to keep one station fully running, we're going to have to increase the levy, the amount of millage that's there now. So Our third option is to basically renew the 5-year that exists at this moment with a little bump to it to ensure that we have one station for the next 5 years, and if over the next 5 years, again, try to figure out
a game plan on
how to maintain this to the future. Yeah. Well, I mean, what are we really doing if we're asking for a public?
Yeah.
We decide where bare bones truly is. What does that mean? We can sit and argue and discuss numbers.
Well, my question is, if you renew that, then you're bringing in...
We can't renew it as it is.
No, but if you ask for a renewal, then you're still bringing in roughly $3.7 million.
Right.
And your operating costs today are 3.6 to 3.7.
Just with personnel, yeah.
Okay.
So it is bare bones at that point in time.
Yes, 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 yes. So do we want to bump it so that you're not counting on that EMS revenue? Because remember, each medic brings in about $500,000, give or take. And it obviously doesn't pay for itself, but it is revenue that is used by us to run our fire department.
We received something yesterday about renewals, so I'm trying to find it from the OTA for 2026. So I just wanted you to know why it's on my phone.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to find
I did get confirmation from Carrie, because I didn't know this, so you guys might already know it. I may be telling you common sense, but the valuation and the millage of what a mill is worth does not change depending on whether it's a permanent or
a time levy.
Obviously does change from township versus not township wide versus non-township wide, incorporated versus unincorporated.
One of the biggest things I don't think people realized, I contacted people contacted me, is when I use Hague Avenue, Treby Road, the property tax on the 8 acres of land that is now going to have several million dollars sitting on it that is going to be apartments. What appears that you're going to be paying $500 more a year from now would be gone because of the value of that property when it's assessed and comes back in. All these properties that are having apartments go up is currently assessed at an empty field, especially up around Santa Margarita, those places. So it's hard to really give them true numbers, is what I explain to people. It's hard to tell you that essentially you may not pay very little, which is truthful. The value of Westland Mall when they're done is going to be about $1 billion. $1 billion in fire would be $9.2 million out of a $5 million budget. So when they whittle it down, all the people would not be paying the estimate of $500 more a year or et cetera on this levy. And really, they might be paying $1,000 less a year because these properties are actually becoming of value, estate value, that property tax is set on. And people realize property tax on a parcel is what we collect. So if you have 8 acres and it's valued at $28,000, you're only collecting the fire portion of the fire levy on $28,000. Suddenly it's worth $1 million, $2 million. It's significantly more. And by having a township-wide levy, even if that gets annexed into the city and it becomes worth $3 or $4 million, isn't it true that you still collect the property value of $3 million that would come to the township?
As long as there's no TIFs or any of that.
So just a piece of property, like say Treby Road, where Treby and Hague, they're starting that process on that 8 acres there by Fairweathers, which was valued at even if you give it a valuation of $100,000, because a lot of people have $100,000 homes in the township. Right. So you're looking at $1,800 a year for the fire value portion that they pay. That gets annexed into the city, which it did. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to be worth, say, let's just give it $3 million or even $1 million in value. We would still, even though that annexed, if this levy would have passed, we were to collect the value of taxes on the $1 million or $3 million, whatever the value would be set, for the fire levy of that portion, even though it sits in Columbus. Is that correct?
I think theoretically you're correct. I don't know exactly. Because anything Columbus does annex and develop, they typically TIF all those property taxes away, which means we don't get them anyway, I believe. So theoretically, I think you're correct. Functionally, and how much money they would actually bring, it absolutely would bring more than it was if it was an empty field. But it just depends on the politics of how that property tax was.
So you brought up a good question that I can't even answer. And I asked these in a way that I pretty much knew the answer, but I wanted other people to hear our fire chief answer it. We need to check on that unless you know, because this is a new caveat. If that property behind Fairweather's on the corner of Treview and Hague, even though it was TIFed and the residents of Franklin Township passed a township-wide levy, my understanding is they would pay Franklin Township's taxes, even though there's a TIF. Since you annexed it into the city, you're obligated since 2004 any property that has been annexed. So that's a question that we need to find out, because I don't want to get the wrong information out there.
Is it a TIF or is it an abatement?
Right, and I was going to say they have all kinds of...
It's an abatement. It's not a TIF.
Okay.
My understanding, it's an abatement. Two different animals. Two different animals. But yes, a TIF does not prevent annexation.
Not annexation. What he brought up is, if the levy would have passed,
mm-hmm.
and come next year we go to collect our monies off of mm-hmm. $3 million versus $100,000. Oh, we're sorry, we don't have to pay your township-wide levy because we had a TIF on it. I don't believe the TIF or any of those...
two separate things.
Right. I don't believe that it would supersede, because the reason that townships, municipalities have been given a right by a federal judge to do these is because they get eaten up by municipalities and cities.
Mm-hmm.
So the design of the mechanism for township-wide levies is to not take away the funding where someone takes it, annexes it, develops it, then you have your village or your township lose those tax sources.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that we would still collect on that. So even let's take Westland Mall. Westland Mall, if anyone's been by there, you got the back part that's, you know, they're going to town on. If, in fact, it does reach the $1 billion in value and it's TIFed,
mm-hmm.
they would still be, and from what I understand, we'll have to ask Julie, they would still be expected to pay on, even if it got annexed.
Absolutely. It's
they would still be to pay on a township-wide levy. If we don't have a township-wide levy, every time we get annexed, we get to a tipping point, that I like to call it, where it's too expensive to live in the township and it dissolves into the city, just like New Rome did.
Well, if it's a type 2 annexation, yes. It's included in the township-wide levy. A TIF is an obligation that the developer has made with the township. Those funds still have to be paid to pay for the infrastructure. But again, a TIF does not prevent annexation. And if it's a type 2 annexation, then the township is still able to collect taxes on the township-wide levy.
But if it's not a type 2, then they do not.
Well, I'm not that familiar with the expedited and the type 1s and 3s.
But if it's a tax abatement,
that's my understanding,
all taxes.
That's my understanding. The city of Columbus is issuing abatements to all these developers. Yes.
Okay.
That is true.
But what we would need to find out, instead of speculating, if it was annexed and they got the abatements. And we passed a township-wide levy, and I'm thinking, but we'll find out for sure, they would still have to pay Franklin Township's levies.
Yes.
That's the question.
Based on the type of annexation.
Right. Irregardless, I don't care how they annexed it, if the voters pass a township-wide levy, irregardless what you want to call it when something is annexed, they are still going to be held to paying Franklin Township fire taxes. But we'll find out.
We'll find out. Because I think as long as it's a type 2 annexation, like Steve said, then we could collect the money. But if it's not a type 2,
I don't know.
So my understanding, sir, of that is you're absolutely 100% correct. That's irregardless of what levy we have, when you have a type 2, we would collect. But when we switch our levies to a township-wide levy, it doesn't make a difference, from my understanding, whatever annexation it is, whether it's a 1-2 or tax abatement, it's the voters of Franklin Township that have the right to be able to say, you're paying your fair share, just like what I'm paying. You chose to annex it into the city. We have a township-wide levy, and you're going to pay too. So we need to find that out, because that's going to make a huge difference on decisions of what type of levy that we put on. Because we need to know our limitations. We need to know exactly what we can do with that, and the public needs to be educated on that.
And the state of Ohio does not hand out tax abatements. It's sent through the county and the city.
Mm-hmm. So, Bob,
anything else?
Oh. Yeah, I know you got to go, but I want him to explain this because we had a meeting on Tuesday. So we rolled this dice on township-wide levy twice now. Mm-hmm. We lost.
Yeah.
I want you to explain, if we do it again and you lose,
yes,
doomsday scenario you explained to me as far as what would be on the books.
So I do have somewhat better numbers on that. But if we shoot for a levy, no matter what kind we choose, in November and we lose, we are down to only $2.6 million in revenue
a year
for the fire department. And it takes roughly just over $2 million to run just a single fire truck.
And that's without buying new equipment?
That's with nothing other than maintaining the fire truck for maintenance, fuel, and personnel.
How many people would you have on the fire department if you had just one fire truck?
12.
And that's getting
that
days off.
Really doesn't leave
right
room for a prevention officer, which is extremely important for building inspections, fire investigations, etc. And that's not counting a chief. So if you look, all 2.6 is eaten up
real
maintaining
quickly
just one engine. And then you run into, well, how do you provide EMS transport?
And you're
for
down
your citizens, you can't. And if you can't help your mutual aid companies with anything, then you're going to lose your mutual aid agreements, which mm-hmm. means somebody calls 911 from Franklin Township needing something, and nobody's coming.
Yep. And then what we see from there, it's very easy then from there to people to say, well, I'm just annexing in the city. And this is called implosion, where this is why a federal judge gave the opportunity for township-wide levies. And I'm not trying to say we have to have a township-wide levy on the next one, but this is why it was crafted, because many of small villages and townships in the last 20 years have been gobbled up by municipalities. And as they say, the shortage of homes in Franklin County or residents with the explosion of what we're seeing, there's only one person growing, and that's the city. So we have to look at ways to be able to say we want to be sustained in the year 2035 to live the way that we live in local government. If we don't find a way to do it, then it'll end up going to the city. Sir, I know your
yep,
time
I got
up.
To go.
So is there any other questions from the board?
So you're good with this? You don't want to delve into this and throw out what you'd like to see operate the station, one station?
I would like to see a levy that generates $5 million.
Okay.
So an operational levy?
Yeah.
A replacement levy?
Based on, I just need
right.
$5 million to run.
An additional $5 million. Or $5 million total?
No, $5 million in revenue total. So okay. The extra levy would have to subsidize 2.6 to $5 million or replace those 2.6 to get it.
So it's basically a renewal.
Let me cut here to the chase. Because we might as well just get right to the meat and potatoes of this. If correct me if I'm wrong, Bob has $5 million a year. He doesn't have to work bare bones. He in the long run can subsidize one station completely and at the same time potentially have money to set aside for capital improvements because you have a 5-year-old engine, a 15-year-old engine, and a 20-year-old engine, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your 15 and 20 are obsolete, basically.
Yes.
Okay. So what we need to think of in the future is get this man enough revenue to generate a substantial firehouse for the community, but at the same time, he's got to replace aging equipment. So that's kind of it, just cutting to the chase and saying, gentlemen, this is what you need to look at to operate at least one station.
Okay.
And that's where...
We should have had you do the presentation. We've been dancing around.
And I'm going to go with whichever levy you guys want to go with, but what I was trying to spell out that he's saying... A township-wide allows you to grow when the city grows and gets annexed.
No, I get it.
If we don't have that, then we lose those revenues, and then you're going to come back to the public and say, I need another levy because we just lost 600 acres. And so we'll leave it at that. Yep. Any other questions?
I think I'm good.
The time now is approximately 10:40, and gentlemen, we are adjourned.